Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your senior care consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. We have an excellent program with our friend and special guest in studio, Neil Connolly. He's a certified financial planner and senior wealth manager with Rally Wealth and Benefits. And if you want to reach out to our friends, Rally Wealth and Benefits, here's the Kansas City number. It's 913-308-0277 nationwide. So if you're outside of the KC area, here's your toll-free number, 888-241-2361. You can also visit their excellent website at rallywb.com. And with that, Neil, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Steve.
All right. How about those Chiefs?
Well, I know they're 3-0. I'm a Broncos fan myself, but...
Smart man right here. Smart man.
We got a big matchup coming up mid-November, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, yeah. And I married a Broncos fan, so you know it had to be true love. So. And Sean Floyd, our producer extraordinaire here, he's a huge, huge Denver Broncos fan. Sean, how about those Broncos?
I have a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
But I'm grounded, realistic that this is a rebuild process.
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
Hey, for how great Tampa was and how they came out of the gate and then to go into their house and beat them.
Yeah.
Nice confidence.
Yeah. That was a good win last week. So, all right. So, Neil, before we get into a lot of the things that we were wanting to talk about today, I just have to ask you about the recent Fed move where they lowered the interest by 50 basis points. And just wanted to get your take on, you know, what does that mean? Obviously, we had a little bit of a bump in the stock market, but, you know, what impact does it have on consumers, credit card interest, mortgage rates, loan rates, all of those sort of things?
Yeah, great question. And it could be a good thing, could be a bad thing, probably a little bit of both. The good part of it is, you know, for the last 20 years, the Federal Reserve has been aggressively lowering rates just really to bolster the economy, stimulate the economy. That typically will lower borrowing rates. We all remember when mortgage rates were in the 2-3% range.
Yeah, boy, that's painful looking at them now.
yeah. And a lot of that has to do with the Federal Reserve lowering interest rates. And that's likely what may come as a result of this. There could be some concern there as well by the Federal Reserve related to the economy. Could be more of a life preserver that they're throwing out there to make sure that we don't tumble over into a recession or something like that.
Yep, yep. All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. So thanks for that. So that first drop of, you know, 50 basis points, it's a 0.5%, probably not likely to make big waves, but it could lead to some bigger waves if they continue to drop it. And that'll start to change, I would think, a lot of things. So.
Yeah, they're expected to continue to lower it throughout the end of the year and into next year.
Yeah.
We already saw a shot in the arm with the stock market.
Yep.
Went up 2-3%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shortly thereafter. So at least that was a near term positive development.
Good deal. So, all right. Well, so I know that you were wanting to talk a little bit about Medicare as a certified financial planner, and you deal with wealth management and all of the insurances. All of it really go together. All these things go together in the big picture of it all. So, what is it, and who is it for?
Medicare is a federal health insurance program that we all fund while we're working through our paychecks. And it's generally for people who are age 65 or older, some younger people with disabilities, and some other cases where you can qualify for Medicare. Generally speaking, it's for those people that are 65 and older. It's meant to be your health insurance while you're retired throughout the rest of your life. It's generally divided into four parts. Part A, which is hospital insurance, Part B, which is medical insurance, Part C, which is your Advantage plans, and Part D, which is prescription drug coverage. Generally helps cover the cost of eligible medical expenses such as hospital stays, doctor visits, and prescription drugs.
Okay. And is there a cost associated with Medicare?
Absolutely. Part A hospital insurance is generally, there's no cost to it. From the perspective of a premium, because you and your spouse paid Medicare taxes while you were working. There may be some deductibles that occur if you're in a hospital and different types of treatment that can come within a hospital after the first 60 days.
Okay. And then I think we have premiums for Part D as well.
Yeah, there's premiums for Part B and Part D. So Part B is your medical insurance, and the standard premium is $148.50 each month. But that can go up based on your income level, which we can talk about a little bit later, why it's important to make sure that you're pulling your resources and your income from various places to keep your income lower as part of your financial plan. There's also an annual deductible of $203 for most services, and there's a 20% Medicare-approved amount copay that you might have to come up with for doctor services, outpatient therapy, et cetera. You mentioned Part D, but I'll talk about Part C real quick.
Sure.
That's your Advantage, the Medicare Advantage plans. These are in addition to the other two coverages that we covered. They typically cover Medicare benefits and can include additional benefits like dental or vision care. And you'll likely have to pay a monthly premium for your chosen plan in addition to your Part B premium. And generally costs are going to be lower, but they can vary depending on the providers and whether they're in-network or out-of-network, very similar to the health insurance you might have had while you were working, private health insurance. We do have experts who can help you maximize benefits and find the most competitive rates if that's something that you're interested in. When we think about Part D, that's prescription drug coverage. The cost varies depending on the specific plan you choose. Most people pay a monthly premium ranging from $10 to $70 each month, and there's an annual deductible that can range from zero to several hundred dollars.
And I know that when my mom gets her Part D reviewed every year, sometimes the drugs will change on some of these plans, and there's a formulary, and sometimes it may move from a fully covered drug to a partially covered drug. And if you're not on top of that, you could end up, if you don't make the change and you just keep what you have, you could end up with some big surprises come January 1st.
Absolutely. I think that's known as the donut hole, or coverage gaps that take place with Part D, and it's very important that you review your coverage every year.
Absolutely. And can people enroll at any time, or is there a window?
There is definitely a window. It's broken up into initial enrollment period when you first turn 65. It's a 7-month period that begins 3 months before you turn 65. After that, there's a general enrollment period, which covers the first 3 months of the year, January 1st through March 31st. And then there's a special enrollment period, which can you can become a part of, especially if you lose your group healthcare coverage or something happens in your life, a qualifying moment that where you need to make a change. Then there's the traditional open enrollment period, which is October 15th through December 7th each year, where you can review your Medicare Advantage plans, Part D, and make sure that you're getting the most for what you're paying for.
And obviously, we're coming right up on that. And with all the changes in Medicare this year, it's my understanding that if you want to sign or raise your hand and get a review, you need to start calling right now because a lot of Medicare brokers are their calendars are filling up right now, and they could be already filled up. It's a huge, huge issue. So if this is catching your attention, resonating with you, if you want to reach out to Neil, here's the phone number. So in the Kansas City area, it's 913-308-0277. If you're outside of the Kansas City area, Rally Wealth and Benefits, they have clients all across the country. That toll-free number is 888-241-2361. You could also go online at rallywb.com, and for a complimentary, no obligation consultation, or maybe even a second opinion regarding your investments, just reach out and they'll be able to help you out for sure. And now let's not forget about the Senior Care Live question of the week. Everyone at 65 years of age must enroll in Medicare. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Everyone at 65 years of age must enroll in Medicare. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. And Neil, why is that statement false?
It's false because you're not required to sign up for Medicare, although it's likely that it's in your best interest. If you choose not to sign up for Medicare, there can be penalties for enrolling later. Medicare and certain parts of it, especially the supplement coverage and the Advantage plans, can start to look at your medical history and charge you more or deny coverage based on your health status. So for those reasons alone, it's usually a good idea. Now, some people are still employed or their spouse is employed and they're covered with private health insurance. That is typically why people won't sign up for Medicare when you're 65. Even in those situations, we recommend that you speak with a Medicare specialist or gain as much information as you possibly can so that you can avoid some of those other things that I mentioned earlier. For instance, even if you have private health insurance and you delay enrolling in Medicare, they can still possibly charge you more or limit your service, your coverages based on your health status.
All right. If you have questions for Neil and all the good folks at Rally Wealth and Benefits in Kansas City, 913-308-0277 or toll free outside of the KC area, 888-241-2361 or always online at rallywb.com. And Neil, are there considerations with Social Security when considering Medicare?
Yes, there are significant connections between Social Security and Medicare. They're both federal programs, and they're intended to support older adults and individuals with disabilities. So enrollment in Social Security does not automatically enroll you in Medicare. Many people associate the two programs together, but that does not, because you're enrolled in Social Security, does not mean you'll be enrolled in Medicare. So that's definitely something, as we mentioned a couple times before, you're going to want to pay attention to that initial enrollment period. Also, if you're already receiving retirement benefits from Social Security, you may be automatically enrolled in the premium-free Part A of Medicare. again, dependent on when you were born and that initial enrollment period. And then lastly, the amount of income that you earn from Social Security and your other retirement sources can increase the premiums that you pay for Medicare Part B, your supplement insurance, and Medicare Part D. So you'll have to consider all of those factors when you're considering delaying taking your Social Security to full retirement age in conjunction with when you take Medicare.
Okay, and how can Medicare and Social Security contribute to an overall tax strategy on retirement?
Again, they play a significant role in an overall retirement tax strategy by helping you to reduce your taxable income and lower your tax liability. Social Security benefits may be taxable based on your total income, while the rest is not subject to federal income taxes. So income from tax-exempt sources such as municipal bonds or Roth IRA withdrawals can help reduce your total income and help you keep more of your Social Security benefits from being taxed. So Medicare premiums, for most people, Medicare Part B premiums are based on your modified adjusted gross income from the 2 years prior. You'll want to keep your MAGI as low as possible during the years leading up to when you enroll in Medicare so that you can minimize your monthly Part B premiums.
Okay, and this is absolutely not a political show. There are about 10 bazillion political shows out there that you can listen to and tune in and get your information or have fun with all of that. But I do specifically recall former President Trump making some claims, or at least some ideas that he would like to promote if he gets reelected. And one of them is he said no tax on Social Security. And I think that's huge. He also said no taxes on some other sources of income. So I think that will have a big impact. I know he can't wave a wand and you have to have congressional support for these things, but I thought that was an interesting idea.
Absolutely. Like you said, no president can just wave a magic wand and lower taxes on one thing or another, but certainly something that would significantly impact anybody who's currently receiving Social Security and Medicare benefits.
Yep, I think that would be helpful. So, all right. And then kind of a really huge situation. There are so many people who currently have Blue Cross Blue Shield as their Medicare provider, and they're discontinuing their plan. And I think that's going to displace something like 2 million people around the country. How can people or listeners get more information about this to make sure that they don't lose their coverage?
Yeah, it's very important to stay on top of this new issue. If you're concerned about the continuation of your plan due to discontinuation or changes in coverage, there's definitely some steps that you should take to ensure that you maintain uninterrupted coverage and with the cost that you're familiar with. So the first one is to contact Blue Cross Blue Shield directly. Contact your BCBS affiliate by phone or online chat through their website. Two is to visit the Medicare website, www.medicare.gov. It offers a wealth of information about available plans, including the Blue Cross Blue Shield plans and their discontinuation, and will allow you to find additional plans that might suit your needs. Thirdly, speak with a licensed agent. We can connect you with Medicare agents and specialists that can work with you to understand the coverage that you may be losing at the discontinuation of that coverage and find the best coverage options based on your unique needs and prescription drug requirements that fit into your budget.
And I think there are a lot of people who just kind of go through the motions and they're like, I like my plan. I don't need to mess with that this year. And they're not aware. Maybe they didn't read the mail. I'm sure they've been contacted multiple times and will be contacted more times by Medicare, by Blue Cross directly, et cetera. But a lot of people, you know how this goes. they're going to miss it, right? And they're going to go right through it. And then at the end of the year, and they're toasting champagne January 1st, they're not going to have any coverage. They're going to be in a world of hurt.
That would be catastrophic. So as we've mentioned a couple times already, it's very important that you pay attention around mid-October through the end of the year for these enrollment periods where you can update and change your plans. So put it on your calendar. make yourself a notation in your cell phone, whatever it is, but make sure that you review this annually. I would suggest starting in mid-October, just a couple weeks.
Yep, absolutely. Reach out to your Medicare broker. Reach out if you have a contact. You gotta look into this. And so again, if this is resonating with you, here is the call to action. I would reach out to Neil and the great team at Rally Wealth and Benefits in Kansas City. It's 913-308-0277. Toll free 888-241-2361 and online at rallywb.com. And Neil, thanks for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
And thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit seniorcarelive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to seniorcarelive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so let's talk about a very specific type of a senior care community. You may refer to it as an all of the above. It's a continuing care retirement community. And with all the wordsmiths out there, we have all sorts of fun little different little nicknames and abbreviations and calling it different things other than continuing care retirement community. But I'm old school, so we're going to call this a CCRC, continuing care retirement community. So what is that? It has independent living. It also has assisted living. And then it also has long-term care. Okay, so if you could see my graphic, which you can't because this is radio, we may need to start rolling some video cameras in here and put this on YouTube Live. But one of these days we may do that. But a continuing care retirement community, here's the whole concept. So you move from your home, you downsize, you let your hair down a little bit, you move into an independent living part of the community. Most of the inventory, I would say, across the entire nation would be an apartment, independent living apartment, studios, one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, with a den, et cetera, et cetera. These are nice apartments. Okay. There are also villas. Maybe freestanding villas, maybe attached to two or three others. So a duplex or a triplex, that sort of a thing. Or it could just be a freestanding home, a villa home. But the majority of the options would be apartments at the various sizes. And so the concept is you move there. And then you have that peace of mind knowing that you can age in place, never have to change your address. Or if it's a campus style setting or arrangement, never have to leave that organization. And then down the road, if you should decline a little bit and now you're needing a little bit of help with those activities of daily living. So here's another, healthcare is full of so many acronyms. In abbreviation. So if you hear the term ADL, oh, you need help with your ADLs. seems like so many people working in the business just throw this stuff around like everyone's supposed to know what it means. And unless you work in the business, you probably don't know what it means. So I try not to do that. So an ADL is an activity of daily living. So bathing, dressing, grooming, using the restroom. So in assisted living, you can be helped minimally or fully with all of those functions, as well as incontinence support. They'll manage your medications. They make all of your meals, provide all of your snacks and hydration. There's a full slate of activities for meaningful social engagement. Physicians will come to your assisted living community and see you there. So essentially making a house call. There's transportation available to take you out of the building to see your doctor or a specialist to take care of that. So, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of support at that assisted living level of care. So you're in independent living over a period of time. You have a decline. You need a little bit of help with some of these things. You can move to the assisted living part of the community and get that help right there. And then if you decline further and you need a lot more help than that, or maybe you need heavier physical care, or you have some medical issues that would require the long-term care or the nursing home level of care, well, then they've got you covered. You just transition to the long-term care part of that community where you can receive that care. And again, age in place and never have to leave, never have to move, and you're covered for life. And that is what a continuing care retirement community is. So again, you have that peace of mind doing that. So, you know, why would you consider moving to a continuing care retirement community? Well, so you're living at home. All of your kids are fully grown. You have grandkids coming over. They may be grown up as well. It's you and your spouse together in this usually a larger house, and you're like, yeah, we're using about 20% of this space. why are we here? I met with one of my clients, and he said, Steve, you know, I live, first of all, he lived in this beautiful, just gorgeous house. And he said, hey, he said, I don't even scratch the surface around here. Why am I even here? And he wanted to downsize to a really nice place that had, you know, 3-bedroom and a den. And he totally tricked this thing out. It was a beautiful, beautiful move. But, you know, you're going to downsize. You don't have to deal with hiring in, you know, housekeepers and people to help cook for you and mow the lawn and scoop the snow and all the stuff. You can shed all of the responsibility, the normal, typical responsibility of home ownership, and just relax. It's a lifestyle change, really. So you move to a continuing care retirement community, and they make at least one of your main meals per day. A lot of places may offer a couple of meals per day. You still have a fully equipped, fully functioning kitchen. So you can cook whatever you want, whenever you like. It's your space. A lot of them have garages, maybe an underground garage, maybe a carport. They would have at least, you know, parking space for you at a minimum. You can come and go as you wish. And then again, you have the peace of mind. Steve, why would I move there? You have the peace of mind. So you don't have to be at home and deal with all the stuff. And then now you're not doing well. And now you're bringing in home care, which is, I think, a great idea. But now you're moving into assisted living. And now what are you going to do with your house? Now you don't feel like dealing with your house and trying to sell it and downsize and get rid of all your stuff and all the things. Do that when you are feeling better, when you're healthy, when you can deal with it. When it's really not as big of a task as it would be at a later date with some health issues. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what people who move to a continuing care retirement community, that's really the line of thinking. Now, don't make the mistake of assuming. You know what they say about assume, right? Well, I can't be swearing on the radio here, but ASSUME, right? So don't make the assumption that all of these places provide memory care. Because guess what? Not all of them provide memory care. Again, I had a call from a client. I was helping them work through finding the right continuing care retirement community. Out of all the places that you would want to choose and check out and do your own homework and try to make the decision, this one by far and away, by a mile, is the most difficult one to try to process and understand and compare and contrast to try to figure out the right one for you. So I had someone say, well, I put money down on this at this particular place, but I'm just not 100% sure. I didn't really look around, and I'd like for you to help me look at all of my options, and then I may or may not move forward with that particular place. I'm like, okay, that's a really smart move. So we got together, we went through everything, and as it turned out, part of our requirement was that we wanted to make sure that any place that we would choose offered memory care. And memory care is that special type of care for a resident with cognitive impairment. There are codes on the doors. It's a smaller space, less stimulation to keep everyone calm and cool, more activity, shorter period of time. It goes on and on and on and on, right? So it's a segregated, separate part of the building dedicated and staffed and trained to care for residents with cognitive impairment. Because there was an issue there, and so they were pretty sure at some point they're going to need memory care. So when that became very clear in our care assessment, our proprietary geriatric care assessment that we conduct for our clients to determine exactly what they need, I said, oh, by the way, the place that you have a deposit on, you need to get your deposit back. And I said, why is that? I said, they don't offer memory care. What? What do you mean? I thought they did. I mean, don't all of these places offer memory care? No, they don't. Many, many places do, but this particular place did not. And so that's why it's so important to work with a professional who can help you think through all of this and then make sure that you're making the right decision and finding the right fit. And coming up next, I'm going to continue on with continuing care retirement communities and these entrance fees. What is that all about?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to these continuing care retirement communities. What about these buy-ins? I have people say all the time, well, don't you have to buy into that place? Well, you're actually not buying anything. There's not all places, but I would say the majority of places do have an entrance fee. And again, they can call that all sorts of, a deposit and all sorts of wordsmithing, but I just refer to it as an entrance fee. And that entrance fee is tied to a contract. So let's talk about this for a minute. I would say, at least in my area, and I've done a lot of research all around the country, one of the more common, maybe the most common entrance fee contracts that I've seen is a 90%, 10%, which means you write a check, and we're talking a six-figure check. It's not inexpensive, right? Ooh, that's a double negative. So I think what they're counting on is you probably have lived in your house for a long time. It's paid off or mostly paid off. You can sell it and then roll that straight into your entrance fee. I think a lot of places are kind of counting on that, but it could be $200,000 or $300,000. It could be $600,000 to $800,000. I've done some searches in California and some more expensive places to live, and some of them were over $1 million. But $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 is going to get you a really nice place. And so if that's tied to a 90-10 contract, what that means is 90% of your entrance deposit or entrance fee is refundable. 10% is not. Okay. So what does refundable mean? Well, you can move and leave anytime you want to. So if you get there and you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and move out where my kids are down in the Phoenix area. And I'm going to, or, you know, wherever they may be. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to leave. You'll get 90% of your entrance fee back. So if you wrote a $500,000 check, you're going to get a check back for $450,000. And you can leave anytime you want. Now, from what I've seen, my experience, most people don't leave. Most people live there and they age in place. They move to assisted living. They move to long-term care. They may or may not need memory care. But the bottom line is they live there for the rest of their life. And when they pass away, then that 90% is refunded or returned to their estate. And then it flows through their estate and then flows to the beneficiaries, as you would expect. Now, I've seen some 80-20 contracts, which means 80% refundable, 70-30. I've seen 50-50 contracts before. Okay, so you could have some different flavors of that. Typically, the lower the refund, the lower the monthly rent or the monthly cost, because with that, you still have a monthly cost, right? Believe it or not. And that monthly cost, depending on how nice the place is and how big your apartment is, could be anywhere from $3,500 to maybe $5,500, $6,000 a month. Could be. I looked at a place locally here in Kansas City. It was close to $7,000 a month. That was a villa, a really nice place. But those are the some typical costs. Okay, with a life care contract, life care agreement, and again, there are different terms for this. There's a zero refund after a period of time. So, for example, a place here locally that I'm familiar with, 2% per month amortizes. So every month, your refund lowers by 2%. So in 50 months, so just a little over 4 years, you have a zero refund. Well, what do you get? So if you write a check for $300,000 in 50 months, there is no refund. So what do you get in return for that? And the answer is, I almost felt like the Senior Care Live question of the week. And the answer is, but the answer is you're locked in to a level or a flat rate. So what happens is if your rate in, let's say, independent living is $4,000 per month, and you should move to assisted living in the down the road, instead of paying $7,000 a month, you're paying $4,000 per month. So you're getting a $3,000 a month discount. Down the road, if you move to long-term care, instead of spending $12,000 per month, you're spending $4,000 per month. Now you're saving $8,000 per month. You see how that works? So you're locked in to a level payment that's below market value once you hit the healthcare side of things. So you're essentially prepaying for future discounted healthcare. I think for some people who are younger and in fantastic health, that may be something that's attractive. If you're older and you have some health concerns, I think that's less attractive. And then I've seen some that are 90-10, but they also offer a discount of maybe $500 a month in assisted living, $500 a month in long-term care, capping out at like $30,000. So if you realize all of those discounts, the total of that would actually offset that 10% in many cases. And with a couple, both of them would get that. That's a potential total savings of $60,000. So look, this stuff gets really, it gets complicated, right? So that's why so many people contact me with my firm, Senior Care Consulting. I walk with you. I help you understand all of these things and what all of the different options mean for you and which ones are maybe the better value for you, which ones might not be the best value, right? So just so many layers involved in choosing a continuing care retirement community. You just got to get it right. And I have a commercial running out there that said, that says, don't make a six-figure mistake because you could make a six-figure mistake. No doubt about it. And then you have another type of continuing care retirement community that is a rental only Well, what do you mean, Steve? Don't they all have entrance fees? Nope, they don't. Now, I would say the majority of them do, but some of them do not. So they just have a different philosophy, a different approach. It's just a different business model. Where you come in, you move into independent living, you're not paying $200,000, $300,000, $600,000, $800,000 entrance fee. You're moving in and you're just paying for what you need and what you use as you go. So you may move in and pay $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month for your independent living. You're going to pay, you know, whatever the rate is for assisted and long-term care. And then I had the question so many times, well, are the rental-only continuing care retirement communities as good as the entrance fee continuing care retirement communities? And the answer is, yeah, they are. And of course, it depends on the place. But the business model of rental-only versus entrance fee does not have any reflection on the quality of the place and the quality of the care that you receive. It's just a different model. So again, if you have questions about that, reach out to Senior Care Consulting. We've helped, I can't even tell you how many people through that search and selection process to help them get it right and get it right the first time. That's 913-945-2800, online at seniorcareconsulting.com. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.